The next thing to consider here is how entrepreneur's relief applies where shares are exchanged for QCBs. The position in relation to entrepreneur's relief varies depending on the date the exchange of shares for QCBs takes place. First, we will look at what happens with entrepreneur's relief when the shares are exchanged for QCBs between the 6th of April 2008 and the 23rd of June 2010. Where shares are exchanged for QCBs between the 6th of April 2008 and the 23rd of June 2010, entrepreneur's relief will be available in respect of the frozen gains that become chargeable when the QCBs are redeemed. Assuming that the sale of the shares meets the qualifying conditions, a claim for entrepreneur's relief is made at the time that the gains are frozen, that is, at the date of the takeover. Entrepreneur's relief is then given by reducing the frozen gains by 4/9 within the lifetime maximum. The frozen gain, net of 4/9 entrepreneur's relief, will then become chargeable when the QCBs are sold or redeemed. This gain will then be taxed at 18% or 28%, depending on the date of the disposal and whether the taxpayer pays tax at the higher rate. Do note that if the frozen gain becomes chargeable after the 23rd of June 2010 and the taxpayer pays income tax at the higher rate, the frozen gain will be charged at 28%. This equates to an effective rate of CGT of 15.56%, not 10% as it was before the 23rd of June 2010. For example, Guy sold his shares in Newborn Limited, a trading company, to the Elbow Group PLC in May 2008. He had set up the company with £10,000 of initial share capital in May 1999. Guy was managing director and sole shareholder. The Elbow Group offered Guy £480,000 for his Newborn Limited shares, consisting of 300,000 Elbow Group PLC ordinary shares and £180,000 of loan notes. The shares were valued at £1 each, being £300,000. The loan notes were valued at par, being £180,000. The loan notes satisfy the definition of a QCB. Total consideration is therefore £480,000. If we divide this up, we can see that 62.5% of the consideration is paid in share form, while the remaining 37.5% is paid in the form of QCBs. The disposal of the Newborn Limited shares is eligible for entrepreneur's relief because Guy sold a material stake in a trading company. That is, he worked for Newborn Limited and was able to exercise at least 5% of the voting rights. Guy does not work for Elbow Group PLC, so when he comes to sell his new shares, he will not be entitled to entrepreneur's relief. Therefore, Guy can elect to disapply the share-for-share exchange rules in 2008-09 and claim entrepreneur's relief on the exchange of the Newborn Limited shares for shares in Elbow Group PLC. If he does this, a gain will arise on the share-for-share exchange as follows. The proceeds will be the value of the new shares received, being £300,000. The base cost to be allocated to the shares is the original base cost of the old shares, being £10,000, multiplied by 62.5%. The capital gain arising is therefore £293,750. As the disposal took place before the 23rd of June 2010, entrepreneur's relief reduces the gain by 4/9. The chargeable gain remaining is then taxed at 18%. You will see that the CGT due is £29,375, giving an effective rate of 10%. The big advantage of the election to disapply the share-for-share rules is that the new shares in Elbow Group PLC now have an uplifted base cost of £300,000, being their value at the date of the takeover. A gain also arises in respect of the QCBs received. However, this gain is frozen until the QCBs are redeemed. To calculate the frozen gain on receipt of the QCBs, we start with their value on takeover, which is £180,000. The base cost to be allocated to the QCBs is the original base cost of the old shares, being £10,000, multiplied by 37.5%. The gain is therefore £176,250. When this gain becomes chargeable, it will be eligible for entrepreneur's relief. We therefore reduce the gain by 4/9 to give a frozen gain of £97,917. This gain will become chargeable when the QCBs are redeemed. In January 2011, Guy sold 150,000 shares in Elbow Group PLC for £195,000 and he redeemed the loan notes at par. He had made no previous disposals of chargeable assets and it does not work for Elbow Group PLC. Guy is a higher rate taxpayer and uses up his annual exemption every year. We will calculate Guy's capital gains in 2010-11. Therefore, in January 2011 there will be a gain on the sale of the Elbow Group PLC shares and a crystallization of the frozen gain when Guy redeems the loan notes. No entrepreneur's relief is available on the disposal of the Elbow Group PLC shares as Guy does not work for Elbow Group PLC. First, we calculate the gain on the sale of the 150,000 Elbow Group shares. Proceeds are £195,000. The base cost of 300,000 Elbow Group shares is £300,000. Therefore, we take half of this, being £150,000. The gain is £45,000. The redemption of the QCB will crystallize the frozen gain after entrepreneur's relief of £97,917. Adding these together gives us chargeable gains of £142,917. As Guy is a higher rate taxpayer and uses up his annual exemption on other disposals, CGT is charged on these gains at 28%, giving £40,107. Turning now to shares exchanged for QCBs before the 6th of April 2008, entrepreneur's relief will be available on a share for QCB exchange even if the original disposal in respect of which the QCBs were issued was before the 6th of April 2008. Entrepreneur's relief will be given in the above situation only if the original sale of the shares would have met the conditions for entrepreneur's relief. A claim for entrepreneur's relief is not made until the frozen gain comes back into charge. If the frozen gain becomes chargeable before the 23rd of June 2010, the position is the same as that outlined in the previous illustration. The frozen gain, within the permitted maximum, is reduced by 4/9, and the balance of the gain is charged at 18%. This gives an effective CGT rate of 10%. If the frozen gain becomes chargeable on or after the 23rd of June 2010, the gain will not be reduced by 4/9. Instead, entrepreneur's relief will be obtained by charging the gain at 10%. Lastly, we will look at the entrepreneur's relief position where shares are exchanged for QCBs on or after the 23rd of June 2010. Here the position is different. If entrepreneur's relief is available on the disposal of the original shares, an election can be made for the gain in relation to the QCB element not to be deferred. Instead, the gain in respect of the QCB element will be charged at the time of the takeover. Entrepreneur's relief will then apply, and the resulting gain, up to the qualifying maximum, will be charged to CGT at 10%. This election effectively disapplies the share for QCB rule in the same way as the similar election does where a share for share exchange takes place. The election for the gain not to be deferred must be made on or before the first anniversary of the 31st of January following the tax year of the exchange. Note that if no claim is made to set aside the normal share for QCB rule, the gain on the QCB element will be frozen at the date of the takeover. When this gain eventually crystallizes, it will be charged at either 18% or 28%, depending on whether the individual is a higher rate taxpayer. No entrepreneur's relief will be available. By way of illustration, we will return to the example of Guy and the takeover by the Elbow Group. However, this time we will assume that the takeover takes place in July 2010, with the subsequent sales of shares and QCBs taking place in January 2012. Guy sold his shares in Newborn Limited, a trading company, to the Elbow Group PLC in July 2010. He had set up the company with £10,000 of initial share capital in May 1999 and was managing director and sole shareholder. The Elbow Group offered Guy £480,000 for his Newborn Limited shares, consisting of 300,000 Elbow Group PLC ordinary shares, valued at £1 each, and £180,000 of loan notes, valued at par. The loan notes satisfy the definition of a QCB. Therefore, 62.5% of the consideration is paid in share form, while the remaining 37.5% is paid in QCBs. In January 2012, Guy sold 150,000 shares in Elbow Group PLC for £195,000 and redeemed the loan notes at par. He had made no previous disposals of chargeable assets and he does not work for Elbow Group PLC. Guy is a higher rate taxpayer and uses up his annual exemption every year. We'll calculate Guy's capital gains in 2010-11 and 2011-12. As the disposal in July 2010 qualifies for entrepreneur's relief, but the later disposals will not, Guy will elect to disapply the share-for-share exchange rules. A chargeable gain will therefore arise on the exchange of the shares. This will be proceeds of £300,000 less the base costs, which is £10,000, multiplied by 62.5%. The capital gain arising is therefore £293,750. The new shares in Elbow Group PLC have a base cost of £300,000, being their value at the date of the takeover. Guy can also elect for the gain in relation to the QCB consideration not to be deferred. This will give him another gain, this time in respect of the receipt of the QCBs. Proceeds are £180,000, being the value of the loan stock. The base cost is £10,000, multiplied by 37.5%. Capital gain arising is therefore £176,250. Both gains will be chargeable in 2010-11. As the gains are eligible for entrepreneur's relief and the disposals take place on or after the 23rd of June 2010, CGT is charged at the rate of 10%. We add the two gains together to give chargeable gains of £470,000. CGT is due at 10%, giving £47,000. When the QCBs and the shares are sold in 2011-12, no gain will arise in respect of the QCBs as these are exempt assets for CGT purposes. However, there will be a gain on the sale of the shares. 150,000 shares are sold for £195,000. The base cost of the shares is half of £300,000, being £150,000. The gain arising is £45,000. This disposal is not eligible for entrepreneur's relief, as Guy does not work for Elbow Group PLC. As Guy is a higher rate taxpayer who uses up his annual exemption, CGT is due at 28%, being £12,600. There are two practice questions to attempt to complete this session. Nick had 2,000 shares in Brown PLC, which cost £20,000 in February 1999. Brown PLC was taken over by Purple PLC in May 2004. Nick exchanged his Brown PLC shares for 1,000 Purple PLC shares and loan notes, i.e. QCBs, with a nominal value of £75,000. We are told that the shares are worth £120,000 and the loan notes are worth £80,000. No gain will arise on the share-for-share exchange at the point of takeover. However, as Nick has received a QCB, we need to calculate a capital gain on the assumption that he has received £80,000 worth of cash. Sale proceeds are £80,000, from which we need to deduct an allowable base cost. We do this by applying the part disposal rules. Nick originally paid £20,000 for the shares. Total consideration on takeover is £200,000, of which £80,000 relates to the QCB. The allowable cost is therefore £8,000. Nick's gain on receipt of the QCB in May 2004 is therefore £72,000. Nick will not pay tax on this gain at this point. Instead, the gain will be frozen. Nick disposes of £50,000 worth of the loan stock. We calculated that the frozen gain on the receipt of £75,000 worth of loan stock was £72,000, as Nick is redeeming £50,000 worth of the loan stock, an appropriate proportion, i.e. 50/75 of the frozen gain, will crystallise. His chargeable gain is therefore £48,000. We first look at the consideration received by Craig from Snooks PLC in March 2007. He receives £3 million of cash and £9 million of QCB debenture stock. Total consideration is therefore £12 million. If we divide this up, we can see that 25% of the consideration is paid in cash form, while the remaining 75% is paid in the form of QCBs. The gain in respect of the cash element would have been immediately taxable in 2007-08. The gain on the QCB element will, however, be frozen. The gain is therefore the value of the QCB being £9 million less the CGT base cost, which is £200,000 times 75%, giving £150,000. The frozen gain in March 2007 is therefore £8.85 million. This gain will be frozen until the QCBs are redeemed. The disposal of part of the debenture stock in March 2011 will crystallise part of the frozen gain. £6 million of the £9 million of QCB is redeemed, so this will crystallise 6/9 of the frozen gain. The gain which becomes chargeable in March 2011 is therefore £5.9 million. Even though the takeover was before April 2008, entrepreneur's relief will be available on the frozen gain. The original sale of the shares would have met the conditions for entrepreneur's relief. Therefore, the frozen gain will be eligible for entrepreneur's relief. As the gain becomes chargeable on or after the 23rd of June 2010, the maximum amount of qualifying gains is £5 million and the resulting eligible gain is taxed at 10%. Qualifying gains are therefore restricted to £5 million. The remaining £900,000 is a non-qualifying gain. The annual exemption is set against the non-qualifying gain. The taxable qualifying gain of £5 million is therefore taxed at 10%, giving a CGT of £500,000. The remaining gains are taxed at 28%, giving CGT of £249,172. The total CGT payable is therefore £749,172. Any further redemption of QCBs will not qualify for entrepreneur's relief, as the lifetime maximum has been exceeded. That concludes this session on gilts and qualifying corporate bonds.